now.
And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. The current market cap is $124 billion. Bitcoin's dominance of that is 53.1%. We currently have Bitcoin trading at $3,811, down 0.5% in the last 24 hours. We have Ripple currently trading at 35 cents. That's up 5%. Ethereum currently trading at $109. Wow. And that's up 0.5% as well. Currently have Bitcoin Cash trading at $184. That's up 4.5%. And EOS currently trading at $3.22. And that's up 1% in the last 24 hours. I'm seeing a lot of scaremongering out there in all the different Telegram groups. I think people are feeling the pain. They're feeling the pinch. But I also find a lot of people, and this is especially in London. I can speak for London because this is SVK Crypto's home turf. A lot of the people we talk to in the space, a lot of the community, I haven't really heard a lot of talk about the price. The price is the price. And What I have seen is I think newer people in the space are really kind of talking about the price, and that's kind of I think it's kind of negative, because like the price is the price, and if you're in here just to make a quick buck, then this isn't for you. Like, you're not getting the vision, man. You're not getting the strategy, the way we're moving forward together as one, and with this powerful technology that's blockchain. And I think that a lot of the community here in London, you know, I haven't really heard many people talk about the price itself, because as I said, the price is the price. What's changed? The technology is getting better. And that's what's important. As long as the technology is improving and getting better and making it easier for the on-ramps of mass adoption, the on-ramps for institutional capital, as long as that's happening and we're moving forward, that's all that matters. The price is the price. And I know a lot of people out there are feeling the pain, the pinch. And I understand that. But I think as well, you have to really double down on why you're holding what you are and having a look at the portfolio. And I think it's organic. I think it's a good thing that the market's done this. I think it's organic. I think it's got a lot of people out of the space. I think that the people in the space now are big believers. They know what's happening. They know what's going on. They're up to speed. And this is a great time to double down on education, knowledge, learning more about the space as well. The questions that you didn't have time for, because when this takes off again, and it's not a question of if, it's a question of when, this is going to be the biggest rally we've seen thus far. And that's what excites me the most, is the rally we saw back kind of tail end of last year and the beginning of this year is going to be nothing compared to what we see the next rally, man. It's going to be a rip your face off rally, and I cannot wait for that to take place. So with that in mind, let's get on to the next part of the show. Let's find out what people are talking about, what people are saying, man. What's the news? I'm going to go to the pulse on the street. That's what we're going to go to. So let's get down to business and let's get on to the next part of the show. So one of the big stories picked up today is 600,000 Bitcoin miners shut down in the last 2 weeks, F2 Pool founder estimates. So between 600,000 to 800,000 Bitcoin miners have shut down since mid-November amid declines in price and hash rate across the network, according to the third largest mining pool. So in an interview today, Mao Xing, founder of F2 Pool, said his firm's estimate takes into account the total network hash rate drop and the average hash power of older mining machines that are having a hard time generating profits. So according to data from blockchain.info, the Bitcoin network's entire hash rate, which captures the aggregated computing power of the world's first blockchain, has dropped around 47 million terahashes per second on November 10th to 41 million in November 24th, an almost 13% decline. So Mao explained that most miners that have halted operations are likely those using older models, such as the Antmire T9 Plus, made by Bitmain, or the Avalon Miner 741 by Canvan Creative. These miners have an average hash power of around 10 terahashes per second. So it's hard to calculate a precise number of miners connected to us that had unplugged, but we saw over tens of thousands of them shut down in the past several days based on conversations we had with larger farms that we are regularly in contact with. That's what Mao said. So Well, this is what's happening among miners in China. On November 20th, Mao shared his Weibo social media account, a photo of a man packing computer gear into boxes with the caption, "Shutting down is not an option. Now have to sell by the kilos." The post was widely taken to mean every mining equipment of recent vintage has been sold off by the kilogram in China. But Mao said he was half kidding when he wrote it, explaining those miners being sold by the kilos are even older and obsolete models that aren't usable anymore. So people are selling to recycle them like copper instead of further mining purposes, which is interesting. So winter is coming. Stepping back, Mao said there are multiple factors that contributed to the shakeout among miners, including the recent market decline that followed the Bitcoin Cash hard fork on November 15th, an increase in electricity costs in China, and the fact that Chinese manufacturers are still racing to upgrade their products, making older machines increasingly uncompetitive. All these factors are overlapping right now, which led to the recent phenomenon, Mao said. As the winter comes in China, hydropower plants are experiencing a dry season, where electricity costs have doubled from what they would have been last summer when water was abundant. During the summer, Mao said electricity costs in China's mountainous southwestern region, where lots of mining farms reside, could go below 0.2 yuan or 2 cents per kilowatt. But at this time of year, this is going up to around 43 cents. While other fossil fuel power plants, for instance, China's Xinjiang province, may generate electricity at a steadier rate, the overall costs are at least 4 cents per kilo more expensive, Mao said. So, as Bitcoin's price recently tanked to a 13-month low below $4,000, mining farms that have been using machines made in 2016 and 2017 with lower productivity can just break even, Mao added. So to be sure, the fact that mining farms have unplugged does not necessarily mean they're out of the game completely. Mining, or Bitcoin mining, is always a more dynamically adjusted process, Mao said, meaning that the hash rate drops, so does the mining difficulty. The latest data shows the Bitcoin mining difficulty has already declined slightly by 5% within the last few days. This dynamically adjusted process could give those who haven't thrown in a towel to an incentive to stick around, Mao said, concluding, the change of Bitcoin's mining difficulty normally has a lag of around 14 days following hash rate change. After this wave of shutdowns, those players who opted to stay in have a better life. That's amazing. And I think, like, if you're a believer in Bitcoin itself, why wouldn't you want to accrue more Bitcoins at this rate and really kind of speculate on that, I guess. Like, you know they're going to go back up in value. You don't know when. So you know mining them, even if it's at a break-even level, you are going to make that money back, and it's a long-term play instead of the short-term game. So it's interesting to see what a lot of these miners are doing. So let's talk about something different. Let's talk about Ripple. Ripple is making it easier for customers to integrate XRP. So far, they aren't. So Ripple is rolling out a new version of its most popular product, Xcurrent, positioned as a rival to SWIFT, the 45-year-old messaging network at the center of the global payment infrastructure. Version 4 of Xcurrent is being made closely integrated with Ripple's other major offering, XRapid. XRapid uses the cryptocurrency XRP to provide what the company calls an on-demand liquidity in cross-border transactions. The ability to use XRP as a bridge currency in the middle of a cross-border payment corridor, which Ripple says eliminates payment processors' need to pre-fund bank accounts to destination countries. Describing X4's 4.0 Ripple SVP of product, Ashish Bhaira told media sources today, what this release enables you to do is that in countries where you think it's appropriate and XRapid's available, using your XCurrent software, you can now plug into on-demand liquidity using XRapid. The rollout of XCurrent 4.0 began in September. A company spokesperson told media sources, and customers which include American Express, Santander, and Etu are currently being transitioned to the new version. So the SVP for Ripple didn't really speak regarding an exact timeline for completion on the upgrades. He noted that XCurrent is an on-premise software package, meaning it's tailored to each customer to some extent, but said that any new customers would begin with version 4.0. Yet the XRapid integration, Bhaira stressed, is entirely optional. In other countries where there's no good regulatory clearance or digital asset infrastructure, you just continue to use ex-current as in the fiat liquidity, he said. So far, a Ripple spokesperson told media sources no ex-current 4.0 users have opted for ex-rapid integration. So, media sources reached out to several Ripple customers regarding the new version of ex-current. A BBVA spokesperson said the bank had tested a Ripple product last year but declined to specify which one or provide an update. Ovido Cordero, a corporate communications manager at Banco Santander, said the bank uses ex-current only, not ex-rapid or XRP, and the bank has not upgraded so far. He added that Santander does not need nowadays the upgrade to deliver all the benefits of OnePayFX, a mobile payments app. Ripple announced in October that three companies, MercuryFX, Kaluex, Catalyst Corporate Credit Union, were implementing ex-rapid for commercial payments. So under the existing system, Barilla said financial institutions can spend months setting up bank accounts in foreign countries and funding them with enough local currency to provide liquidity. With ex-rapid, companies trade the originating country's currency for XRP, then use XRP to purchase the currency of the destination country. So the feedback so far from our customers, he said, is using ex-rapid experience cuts down on cost, but also cuts down on setup time. Independent market makers on cryptocurrency exchanges are needed to provide the liquidity for those transactions. Ripple has partnered with three exchanges, Bittrex, Coins.ph, and Bitso, to facilitate ex-rapid payments between US dollars and Philippine pesos, and US dollars and Mexican pesos. They're two of the large destinations of payments, and they have good infrastructure, Barilla said, of Mexico and the Philippines, adding, we picked those to get started and we want to go from there. So it's interesting where Ripple are at, because they've really made some moves in the space. I'm not a big fan of XRP myself. I think what they're doing is great. I think that the XRP token, though, it doesn't really hold the value Ripple does. Ripple's a centralized product that works great. Perfect. But I think trying to label it some decentralized next level payment solution for the crypto space is something else, and it's something it's not. So I think for what they're doing at the minute, though, they're managing to bridge the gap between the institutions and the new payment system. So for themselves, they're doing a good job. But I think we'll start to see more and more companies doing this, and whichever one gets it right. Because you have to remember, Google, the search engine, was the 21st search engine that ever existed. It wasn't the first. And Ripple's really the first to do this. So will they be the market leader in the next 5 to 10 years? Who knows? But the point is that the door's now open, innovation's happening, and sooner or later, it'll be interesting to see if the banks will start using cryptocurrency or creating their own that they can control. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention. As always, hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. Hit us up on Twitter at SVK underscore crypto. And if you're a real hustler, you can email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I got to bounce.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at SVK underscore crypto. Email us on cstory at svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website www.svkcrypto.com.